The first lesson for today is from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. This is, of course, hundreds of years before Jesus is born. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Our second lesson for today is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given to me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given to me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious and most merciful God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. It's a feast of three kings in some communities. It's a day when presents are shared. Unlike in, I think, this community, where presents are shared on Christmas Eve, in many communities, Christian communities around the world, this is a day when gifts are shared. It's also, for the Orthodox Church, Christmas. It's the day when they celebrate Christmas. So, and we read today from what's probably the foundational document for the whole understanding of Epiphany, which we celebrate, which is a visit of the Magi to Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. Did you listen to that passage from Isaiah closely? It's an interesting passage because it sort of encompasses all the gifts that are shared with people in whatever level of being they might have been at the time. Remember, this is a passage from the book we call Isaiah, a huge, huge prophetic document, which encompasses probably at least three different historic eras, probably written by at least three different authors, or by three different people, spoken and told to people. This particular part we read is from what most people consider the last of the Isaiahs, and there are three of them. This is from 3rd Isaiah. It's a time when the people of Israel, who have been taken into exile, I believe by the Assyrians, are now being released because the Babylonians have overrun the Assyrians. So they're sending the people of Israel back home. And they're coming home looking forward to rebuilding their lives and their communities. And the scary part is, as most people, most historians believe, is they got back to Jerusalem where they were expecting to move back into their homes, to take over and start their lives again, pretty much as they had left them. And when they got there, they discovered that their homes had basically been destroyed. The temple, the center of their community, had been devastated. Everything had to be rebuilt. And it's the prophet Isaiah who stands up and says, "This is the promise." It looks dark. It looks awful because things are in ruins. And these are the darkest of your days. But the light will shine upon you. And that light is God's presence. And it's a presence which, in Isaiah's words, promises well-being as the symbols of wealth are offered. It promises hope. It promises justice and righteousness. And then it goes through the kinds of wealth that might be shared. And it's interesting because most commentators don't know what to do with this passage about having the place overrun with camels. Now, I think that's because they didn't grow up in agricultural communities and didn't understand that the wealth of an agricultural community, unlike the wealth of an urban community, is in the animals that one raises. And at that time, it would have been camels. It would have been Kansas, like when I was growing up, it would have been 100 head of Angus cattle. Would have overrun your lawn. You might think that would create a lot of problems, but it would actually create a lot of wealth. Frankincense and myrrh, on the other hand, were much more the kind of wealth which was used in merchandising, in selling and buying things. So the promise isn't just to those who are in the city, but it's the promise to all. I hesitate to go any further because I want to talk about light. And as I thought about this sermon this week, I kept laughing to myself because I thought, you know, you could carry this out a long way onto just about everything. The other day I was at home trying to clean out our garage, which is a never-ending battle. Someone sneaks in at night and fills it, you know. It's like basements or closets. There really are poltergeists out there. And they own a lot of stuff. And half of it ends up in my garage. But anyway, I was going to go into the garage to start cleaning, and of course during the day, and I thought, I don't have to turn the lights on. I know what's in here. And immediately ran into something hanging from the rafters and banged my head with it. Light enables us to move in safety and move with confidence. And it also enables us to see what's going on around us in other ways. It helps other people to see and understand. Light, as God's presence, enables us to think about what we need to do in response and gives us the courage and the confidence that we can do it. Think about it for a minute. Now, here's the one thing, though, to think about light. Light only works when it's a steady presence. If you want to drive yourself crazy, flashlights on and off, it doesn't help at all. It means it creates all sorts of problems for us. You know, one of the problems with fluorescent lights for people like me, I have some weird affliction that I'm told other people have also. They give me terrible headaches because they flash. And most people don't notice it. It doesn't bother them because it seems like a steady light. But for some reason, there are some of us who just causes our head to ache. But steady light is what we need. And that's the kind of presence that God calls us to offer. And I thought about that in terms of this congregation. You have provided steady light to this community for 70-some years. 1846, I think you started. Some of you were probably here. I don't know, maybe not. Okay. But for 170 years. But think of the steady light for the last 30 years that you provided this community. I keep coming back to this, but it's so wonderful to talk about and to think about. And that's the caring place. That kind of light provided to this community on a steady basis, not on a flickering basis. Oh, occasionally we'll let people show up and, you know, stay here and spend the day here in recreation and nutritional opportunities. But the thing about light is, it doesn't just show us one thing. It shows us everything. And it says there are other things we need to be doing. And that's the challenge of our faith. As you see, if we embrace it, the scary part is, it's going to continue to show us things that we need to do to assure that other people have the opportunities that we have, or that we take advantage of the opportunities that are there. And it's not something that stops. I think that's the scariest part of faith. It's just not something you grab onto like a book and hold and never open again. It's something that's continually open to us for our understanding and our interpretation. And we live in an ever-changing world, and we're called to continue to ever change with it and respond to its needs and its possibilities. And that's the hard part. That's the hard part. You know, right now, one of the challenges we all have is so often people are, we're so afraid of how quickly the world is changing. How quickly it changed. I just read an article. Do you realize in Cuba, cell phones were outlawed until 2009. You couldn't own a cell phone. I'm not sure that wouldn't be a good policy, but you know, for now here, but that's another question. But remember, some of you don't. I know you're too young. Phones used to be attached to walls and had cords and dials. Life changes, and it's hard on us because science continues to call us and think about how we do things differently. My guess is most of us either have worked or are working in places that change so fast. Every year we have to renew and re-understand what it is we do and how we do it. That's also true of how our faith calls us to respond to the needs of those around us. The problem with light is you have to shine it so it becomes useful. You have to show it and use it so that others can participate with us. As we think about this year, think about where our light should be shining. And don't be afraid. Let us have the courage of faith not to be afraid about what it reveals. But instead, like the people coming back from exile who found their lives shattered and their homes in ruins, they rebuilt. They said, they listened to this prophet, Isaiah, who said, you can and you will, in response to God's presence, rebuild. May the light shine on all of us as we move ahead in this new year, and may it continue to be a symbol and a sign of our faith in God's continuing presence with us. Amen.